Morning, church. For those of you online or on the radio, I know people tune in and tune out. I am Laura Lupton. I am your guest minister for today. I'm a poor substitute for Jim Morgan, your regular preacher, but I'm glad that he's getting some time off. It's a delight to be here at Trinity Presbyterian Church in Laurinburg today. I'm tickled that you all host a bookmobile during the week. I know that that's open to any who want to stop by on Tuesday at 10 a.m. to see that bookmobile and visit with members of the church and get something great to read. So what a great community service. As we enter our scripture text this morning, it is found in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 to 10, and then skipping down and reading verses 19 and 20. Friends, listen for God's word to us this morning as we are reminded of the young Samuel first hearing the voice of the Lord calling his name. Now, the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel," and he said, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call you. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. The Lord called again, "Samuel." Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again a third time, and he got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there, calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." And skipping to verse 19, as Samuel grew up, the Lord was with him and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was a trustworthy prophet of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So my question to engage us in some conversation this morning is, as Shannon Hamilton mentioned, is God still speaking? So our reading today from 1 Samuel tells us of a time long ago when the word of the Lord was rare. The priest of that era, a man named Eli, had once felt the Spirit of the Lord was with him, but he no longer heard the Lord as he carried out the temple duties. He was at this time also raising the boy named Samuel in the temple area. Essentially, Eli was a foster parent. Although we learn from Scripture that Eli's own sons grew up to be rotten eggs, to put it nicely, apparently they did not attend to God's ways. They were known to be selfish, greedy men who no one respected. But young Samuel, this adopted child, turned out differently. In this part of Scripture, we learn that the priest Eli had become infirm. He was hard of hearing and had minimal vision. Apparently, it was the young Samuel who cared for Eli's needs rather than Eli's own disinterested sons. Eli was the priest with years of experience tending to the holy matters at the temple and to the needs of the people. Samuel was just a boy. Samuel, assistant to the priest, began to hear the voice of the Lord calling his name. Initially, as we heard, Samuel mistook the voice as that of Eli calling for assistance. Eli, however, helps young Samuel understand that God was speaking to him. Neither Eli nor Samuel were expecting this to happen. This story is already an example that God breaks through in unexpected ways at surprising times. Now, I'm going to go here on a side road, but don't worry, I'll circle back. Trust me. Little detour. How many of you have been in or watched a meeting where Robert's Rules of Order, now stay with me, guided the process of deliberation and voting? It might have been a session meeting if you've been an elder in the church, maybe a presbytery meeting, a congregational meeting, a city council meeting, a club meeting, a business meeting, a United Way meeting. They often are using Robert's Rules of Order. You know, the meeting format where someone states the idea in a succinct motion that needs a second of someone to concur before it's discussed by the group and then eventually voted upon. During discussion, there are several things that could happen to change the motion or delay acting on it. Maybe you've heard the phrase, moderator, point of order. Once recognized, a person may point out how something is being done in an incorrect or unclear manner, each item being handled in a highly structured manner. Sometimes this structure irritates people, such that in a small meeting, the formality of Robert's Rules of Order is sidelined or simplified. But in large meetings, parliamentary law provides a clear structure, as well as useful tools for moving business forward expeditiously and with fairness. As we often boldly declare, majority rules. Now, before any of you fall asleep thinking that I'm about to give a sermon about Robert's Rules of Order, I want to share with you what many people do not realize. One of the important reasons for Robert's Rules of Order, in addition to providing clarity and order, is to protect the rights of the minority, protect the rights of the absentees, and the rights of the individual members. Have you considered the importance of protecting the rights of the minority? Although Robert's Rules is a meeting methodology designed to ensure majority rules, it is structured in such a way that minority opinions can be heard and given fair consideration. As a matter of fact, if the parliamentary rules are being properly followed, the discussion on an item of business should alternate between the persons who wish to speak in favor of the matter and the persons wishing to speak in opposition. This is one way to encourage everyone to participate, even if, perhaps especially if, they disagree or have questions, creating space and time for all to be heard. Isn't it wonderful to be part of a gathering where the voice of just one person could avert a flawed decision? One person who remembers the scheduling conflict, or one person who remembers to ask about the costs, or remembers to add an important detail that gives clarity. One time I was visiting a congregation of another denomination with a friend who was a member, and I sat through their congregational meeting about a proposal to build a rectangular sanctuary addition onto their small church. While the meeting was going on, someone near me leaned over to a neighbor in their row and said, "Why would we want to build the type of structure that so many other congregations are trying to get rid of?" I kind of giggled internally. Why not build something more flexible or contemporary? I don't remember the exact outcome of that day, but I do know that this congregation has not built that shoebox sanctuary, and this is many years later. One person seemed to raise a concern that others had not fully considered. Perhaps there are times when a meeting chairperson has heard several opinions on a matter, but recognizes that there's a handful who've been silent. With respect and humility, the chairperson invites the silent one or ones to add their thoughts to the discussion. Sometimes, while these persons were listening, they were piecing together the divergent opinions into a cohesive idea that brings everyone together. Or sometimes the quiet ones share a new idea that brings clarity to the moment. If God has called us into leadership, it is important for us to fully participate. Some of us just need a little nudge from time to time. Sometimes if we do not share what's on our heart, we're holding back a good word that God has for the group. The voice of the minority, the voices of the introverts, the voices of people we overlook, the voices of the marginalized persons are sometimes the very people through whom the Spirit of the Lord is speaking. God is able to break through to a larger group with godly wisdom using their voices. So is God still speaking? From the time in young Samuel's life where the Lord first called his name to get his attention, Samuel began to hear many instructions from God throughout his life. Samuel was the prophet who anointed the shepherd boy David to be king of Israel while King Saul was still on the throne ruling the land. If we skip forward hundreds of years, well past this time, we come to a time when God again appeared to be silent, a silence that lasted 300 years with no identified prophet, no word from the Lord. All this silence, broken by God giving words through angelic visitors and dreams to Zechariah, Elizabeth, Mary, and Joseph, announcing the birth of John the Baptizer, Jesus the Messiah, God speaking to an aged barren couple and young unwed mother, not famous people or the temple leaders. But if we continue to skip forward again, Jesus, of course, ascends into heaven, leaving his Spirit for the apostles and disciples. And then in the book of Acts, we have records of the great upheaval of mass conversions, along with the need for a new understanding of Old Testament law, a new understanding of grace. By reading the book of Acts, the early church beginning to take form, we see how the laws of the Old Testament are transformed by grace, understood in a new way. We see, for example, in Acts chapter 10, Peter has a vision wherein God makes clear that non-Jews are to be welcomed. In this vision, Peter clearly hears, "What God has made clean, you must not call profane." This totally redefines ancient purity laws in light of grace, in light of Jesus. Even Jesus had begun this reframing of the Ten Commandments and the purity law when he asked, "Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save life or to kill?" In Mark chapter 3. Too many people these days are circling back to promote Old Testament laws without understanding them in the light of Christ's freedom and grace. So as we keep moving forward across the centuries toward today, God has, we believe, continued speaking. God's Spirit guides us to understand Scripture. God's Spirit empowers all believers with discernment, wisdom, and peace. God's Spirit calls various persons into ministry, men, women, young and old alike. God calls many persons into all types of mission partnerships. God's Spirit gives us guidance when life is falling apart. God puts things on our hearts to pray about, moves us to take action to meet needs. God is speaking through us to encourage others by sharing our life experience and wisdom. God is speaking to us and through us. It is so easy to make these assertions that God is still speaking in our modern times, but so few of us seem to hear what God is saying. I'd venture a guess that if we conducted a spontaneous poll right now of everyone tuned in, most of us would indicate that we've never heard or rarely heard a word from the Lord outside of our direct study of Scripture. Yes, God does speak to us as we read and study the Bible, as we hear the word preached. But God also communicates with us in other ways. In addition to listening to God guide us through Scripture, I think we can be intentional in listening for God in other times and in many places. How many of us here have had the experience of tuning someone out? You know what I mean. Our spouse or a close friend is telling a long story. They're giving us all the details. All the details. What the person was wearing, what time of day it was, and on and on and on. And we have stopped listening. Maybe we're doing something on our cell phone. Maybe we're flipping channels on the TV, even though it's on mute. Maybe we're just antsy or just disinterested. So we're not listening any longer. We tune back in when all of a sudden they say, you all know what I'm going to say. Don't you agree? Huh? What? What am I agreeing with? Wait, what? So if we are so easily distracted when we are face to face with our spouse or friend or even watching TV, how can we focus or find time to listen for God? How can we be silent for a moment in the middle or the end of our prayer, inviting God to move in our souls to guide us? Wouldn't we rather just say amen and move on with our day? Do we even ask God to speak to us? Do we ever echo Samuel's words, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening"? When in our daily routine, sometimes something's happened and we take a deep breath and say a prayer to ask for God's guidance, strength, or wisdom in a moment of anxiety or stress or confusion. But then do we take another breath to let the Spirit fill us in that moment? Two breaths. One to ask for God to help us, and the second to pause and await God's nudge in our spirits. Maybe God is speaking to us when, as we pour out our heart to a beloved confidant, we hear their love for us. Do we hear in their heartfelt reply a word of wisdom, comfort, strength, that may be a word of the Lord through them to us in that moment? When our spirits are disturbed and unsettled, maybe it's God trying to get our attention. Sometimes we know we have found the right way forward when that disturbance, that unsettledness seems to leave and we're at peace with the decision. Jesus does say, "Peace be with you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Is God speaking to us when we suddenly think to call someone to check on them? Or are we moved to help someone in need, and is that God's nudge in our hearts? Is God speaking to us through the deliberative process in a meeting, wherein many voices help shape the way forward, even if we're using Robert's Rules of Order? Remember, God's word to us is not always the loudest voice, but sometimes it is in the still small voice, if we're listening. The book of James reminds us, if any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Jesus is with us to the end of the age. God is still speaking. I hope we're still listening. Amen.